Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. And in this particular study today, what we're going to look at is three false attitudes toward sin. Three false attitudes toward sin, and these are three false attitudes toward sin that are held by Christians. Now, these three false attitudes are the errors by which Christians can sin willfully and get away with it. Look what John says. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at each of these verses and we're going to study them. And the purpose of our study is to dispel their error and to expose their lie. You say, why would we do that? Well, it may very well be that you are looking at sin or some sin in your life one of these three ways. And if we can dispel their error and expose their lie, then you know what we can do? We hopefully, as you acknowledge the truth, can help you to turn from the sin that you have looked at in one of these three ways. Now, let's just get right into it. The three false attitudes towards sin are these. Number one, I have no sin. Number two, I confess my sins. And number three, I have not sinned. Now, to you, those things may not seem like errors, but as you look at what the verse is saying and compare it with the view that we've taken on it, I believe that you'll see it clearly and either be able to identify it in somebody else's life or identify it in your life. And if you can identify it in your life, hopefully you can change it. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, so there's the first error. Here's a person who says, I have no sin. That's the first false attitude towards sin. I have no sin. You see that? In this error, you conclude that, well, since you're saved, you walk in such liberty with Christ that what you do is not sin. In other words, you have discovered the richness and the essence of the Lord's love for you. And that love, that charity that the Lord has for you, covers the multitude of sins. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, I realize that it may not be the way that you look at it, but I'll tell you, there are people who do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So what a person believes when he is in the first error, in the first false attitude towards sin, where he says, I have no sin. He believes that God no longer sees sin in you since you are washed, since you are sanctified, and since you are justified in Jesus Christ. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So a person who's making the first error in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 and says, I used to be a sinner, but now that I'm saved, see, such were some of you, now that I'm saved, I'm washed, I'm sanctified, and I'm justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, so all things are lawful unto me, see. In other words, what I do now that I'm saved is no longer sin because I'm washed, sanctified, and justified, so I'm perfected in Jesus Christ, you see. And the thinking is you don't think you have a problem with sin. If anything, the problem lies with others who believe the Bible identifies and discloses your sin. In other words, in your mind, they are legalists who are trying to put you under the bondage of the law and under their personal convictions. They say, you know, you get up in the pulpit and preach about sin to try to bring people under your bondage or back under the law. But since Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, and the definitions of sin that are found in the law no longer apply to me, and therefore in God's eyes I'm not a sinner, and therefore in God's eyes I have no sin, and therefore because I have liberty in Christ I can walk the way that I walk and I'm fine. And you say, well, are there people? Oh boy, are there people. There are all kinds of people who are Christians, or at least professing Christians, who believe this lie, this error, this false attitude toward sin, and they are justified in everything that they do because they're saved. And their liberty supersedes any definition of sin that you can show them in the Bible, and no matter what it is that they do, they're fine. All things are lawful to me. Now, according to John in this case, your problem is that you are deceived and the truth is not in you. Look what he says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So John says you're deceived. John says the truth is not in you. Look in Romans chapter 7. Now you have to understand that if you're well schooled in what we're talking about here, you'll already have a different view on Romans chapter 7 than the one I'm giving you. But if you're not well schooled in it, you've been deceived by your own thinking, you're going to see in Romans chapter 7 some light that shows you that your attitude towards sin, when you say, I have no sin, is the wrong attitude. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 18, beginning with verse 18, Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He says, I do evil. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, watch it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So even though you're washed, sanctified, and justified, sin still dwells in your flesh. Your spirit and your soul are clean. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. All right, he's clean. He's washed. He's sanctified. He's justified. The inward man. But then you've got another problem. Verse 23, I see another law in my members. That's the outward man. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So Paul says sin doesn't leave you when you get saved. And truly your inward man, your is born again. He cannot sin because he's born of God, but you still have flesh and you still have an accountability for what you do in the flesh. Paul said you're going to face God at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to give account of the things that are done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. So what you have is a twofold problem of deception, and the truth is not in you, and that problem can only be remedied by acknowledging the truth. You have to acknowledge the truth. All right. Now, in this case, you can look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. We'll kind of go through this these two verses frequently, but they really do apply to a lot of problems that men are having with God today. A servant of the Lord in verse 25, 2 Timothy 2:25, must, when he's dealing with a person, teaching a person, he does so in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, watch it, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So you have to acknowledge the truth. There has to be a turning away, a repentance, a turning away from your sin and a turning away from your deception. As a matter of fact, Paul, when he writes Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, shows you the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13, he says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So what's happened is that sin has deceived you so that sin can continue to operate in you after you get saved, because you say now that you're saved, I have no sin. Basically, I can do anything I want to, and it's okay. I have ultimate liberty in Christ. And you know what he says? You're wrong. You're deceived. You've deceived yourself, and the truth is not in you. Now, that's what John says, and I believe him. All right, here's the second false attitude towards sin. The first one is, I have no sin. I'm in Christ. I'm free. I'm liberty. I have no sin. Here's the second one. I confess my sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I believe that verse, but here's the problem. Here's the false attitude. In this error, you conclude that you are justified to keep sinning the way you always have, because at the end of the day, you confess your sins and are thereby cleansed from all of your unrighteousness. This particular problem, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, is usually manifested by the typical blanket prayer, usually prayed over a meal or maybe prayed right before bedtime. Lord, forgive us of our sins. That covers it. Say, I've confessed my sins. He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see that? So you'll hear that blanket prayer from time to time. And what that is the blanket that I can throw over my sins so that I can keep on living just the way that I have always lived. I do not have to change, because every time I confess what I do, God forgives me. So, in other words, you acknowledge that what you're doing is sin. You admit that. But you and God are okay with it because you confess it each time you do it, and he's faithful and just to forgive it. So, it's just great. It's, you know what it is? It is a vicious merry-go-round of sin, guilt, confession, sin, guilt, confession, sin, guilt, confession. In other words, your conscience still bothers you about what you do, but you're on the merry-go-round. So what happens is you just go round and round and round. You commit the sin. The guilt sets in. You confess it to God. Go right back and sin again. Same way you always have. You're not going to change. You never get victory over sin because you just confess it away. And that way you can keep doing it. I've noticed people that get saved that have a conscience about smoking, as an example. I use that because I've had to help a number of people through this particular problem. You know what they do? They feel bad about the fact that they smoke, and so they've got some guilt, and then they tell the Lord, I'm sorry about that, and when you deliver me, I'll quit. And then they light up again, and they just keep going around and round and round and round and round and round and round. Nothing ever changes, okay? Or they've got a problem with anger or some other issue in their life, and they just keep doing it the same way all the time, and then they just say, well, I've simply asked God to forgive me, so I'm fine. I'm clean. It's good. I don't have to change. Well, according to John, your problem is that you walk in darkness, and you lie, and you do not the truth. Look what he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, if you were sincere that you really acknowledge what you're doing is sin and you have some intention to change it, you would come out into the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, when the blood of Jesus Christ is operable on your sin, you know what it does? It purges it. It makes it go away. Look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Look at the effect that it has on your conscience. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In other words, God intends for you to change. And when you're in the light and you're having fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then what happens is God, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, goes to work on the sin in your life to get it out of there. He wants you to perfect holiness in your life in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, watch it, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, it's not holy to keep on sinning and confessing, sinning and confessing, sinning and confessing. That's not holiness. That's a vicious merry-go-round. Holiness is sin, confess it, forsake it. You got it? That's what the Bible says in Proverbs. You've got to get to a place where you can stop it. You say, well, no man ever gets to a place where he's sinless. Well, I tell you what, he gets further along down the road than you are. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And that's where the Lord is. He's looking for you to cleanse it, to move it away, to get it out of there. And that's where you gotta go. Proverbs 28, verse 13, if you haven't seen that in a while. Okay, now, you'd be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. You know that sin is not holiness. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He wants you to change it. And listen, when you have the desire to quit the sin, get off the merry-go-round, there's a remedy. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, yield to God's righteousness in you, so that the sin won't have dominion over you. Romans chapter 6, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So in the second case, the I confess my sins, while I believe that verse and I understand it, the idea is to confess them and forsake them and be done with it. Okay? And you're just going round and round and round and round doing the same thing all the time. That is a lie. That's not doing the truth. So the first false attitude towards sin is, I have no sin. In other words, my liberty in Christ has put me in a place where I am totally forgiven, and whatever I do is lawful, and there's no standard, there's no conviction, there's no Bible definition of sin in my life. I am good to go because I am pure in God's eyes. I'm already sanctified, washed, and justified. And in his love, he accepts me just the way that I am, and I'm good with it, and so is he. Second error, or the second false attitude towards sin, is I confess my sins. In other words, I acknowledge what I'm doing and admit that what I'm doing is sin, but I'm going to keep on doing it, because every night I just tell the Lord I'm sorry, and that's it. We're clear. That's wrong. All right, here's the third false attitude towards sin, and that is, I have not sinned. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned. I mean, how could you miss it, right? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. All right, in this error, you acknowledge that Christians sin after they get saved. That's contrary to the first case where the guy says, now that I'm saved, I'm not sinning. All right, well, you admit, yeah, well, Christians do sin after they get saved. But that what you're doing is not a sin. Okay? In other words, you acknowledge that there's sin in the life of Christians after they get saved, but that the thing that you're doing that others are calling sin is not a sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is, and his word is not in us. All right, so here's how you escape guilt. You escape by guilt by redefining sin in your case so that you are justified to live the way that you do. Let me give you an example. A homosexual justifies her sin by proclaiming that half the Christians she talked to said it was okay. So, therefore, homosexuality is not a sin, and the problem is that you are just homophobic for believing that it is. Okay, but according to John, when you treat sin that way, when you say, well, I haven't sinned, you make God a liar, and his word is not in you, because his word says that what you're doing is wrong regardless of how you interpret it or how anybody else interprets it. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 26. We're in the middle of a context, but look what he says. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So you see what's happened is that the word's not in you, because if the word was in you, you would clearly see, I just gave you one passage, Romans 1, 26 to 28, but there are others, that homosexuality is definitely a sin. But instead, you say, no, it's not, so therefore you're calling God a liar and justifying it because you say the people who are mentioning it to you are just homophobic. I haven't sinned. This isn't a sin that I'm doing. Here's another example. An angry man justifies his anger by calling it righteous indignation. He says, this isn't anger. I'm mad, but I'm mad for a reason. Righteous indignation. So his anger in his mind is not a sin. And you're wrong for making him mad. Well, according to John, you know what you do? You're making God a liar and his word is not in you. Listen, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be ye angry. You say, there it is right there. He said, be ye angry. Well, be ye angry and sin not. So it's possible to be angry and sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now that's what the Bible says about what you're doing. He calls it anger. You say it's righteous indignation, and you're justified because so-and-so made me mad. You know what the real problem is? You have no control over your spirit. You're like a city with the walls broken down, and every little thing gets to you, and then when it does, what you say is, they did it. It's their fault. They made me mad. And the truth of the matter is, you've lost control of your spirit. And you're in sin. And by redefining it the way you have, you end up calling God a liar. And his word is not in you. Here's another example. A couple justifies premarital sex and living together because they're planning to get married in the future. So fornication in their case is not a sin because now, as in marriage, they are one flesh and you're wrong for not realizing that marriage doesn't change that. Well, again, according to John, you make God a liar and his word is not in you. Why? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here it's stated so clearly you couldn't miss it, but in your case, you're having a hard time seeing it because you've already justified that what you're doing is different than some old guy that just, you know, goes shacks up with a woman because you're planning on getting married, so now you're justified. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. So you're acting like an atheist. You're acting like an agnostic who doesn't know God. The Lord said, this is my will, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Period. End of story. You say, well, I don't like to look at it that way. I know, because you want to be able to say at night when you lay your head on your pillow that I've not sinned. And John said, when you do that, you call God a liar and his word's not in you. Now, are you going to be inclined to go with your opinion, or are you going to be inclined to go with the opinion of God? I'm going to go with God's word. So what you've looked at today then is three false attitudes toward sin. I have no sin, that is, the liberty that you have in Christ now allows you to do whatever you want to do, and it's all legal and it's all right because God loves you. His love and his sanctification have purified you, and you can't sin. That's an error. And when you are there, you're deceived, according to 1 John 1:8, and the truth is not in you. The second false attitude toward sin is, I confess my sins. That is, I acknowledge that what I'm doing is a sin, but in my case, it's okay because every night when I lay my head on my pillow, I just tell the Lord I'm sorry, and he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and I can go right back tomorrow and keep doing the same thing that I did today, and it's okay. Because when I feel guilty about it, I cleanse my conscience by simply going to the Lord and saying, sorry. And it's not what it's for. The Lord expects you to confess and forsake your sins. And when you do this, you're still walking in darkness. You're lying and you're not doing the truth. The third false attitude towards sin is, I have not sinned. In other words, I acknowledge Christians sin after they get saved, but what I'm doing is not a sin. And you simply have just redefined it on the particular area that would normally be called sin, because what's happened is you make God a liar and his word is not in you. Well, listen, if your attitude towards sin matches any of these three false attitudes, then you need to repent of that sin and you need to change your view of sin in your life, and then you need to quit that sin. And God help you when you do it the right way. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.